All right, everybody, welcome back to the Dylan Gemelli podcast. So today I have an absolute banger I am looking forward to. My friends, this is NPC competitor, social media legend, fellow enhanced sponsored athlete, and just an all-around fucking amazing guy. This is King Tolo.
Let's go, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me, brother.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time. Now, I know that you're busy, so we're going to jump right into it. Just a quick heads up, everybody. I don't script anything. I do everything kind of off the cuff, and I talk to Tolo beforehand, and I just always am respectful, and I say, hey, is there anything we don't, you know, want to get into or talk about? And he said, nothing's off limits, so
everything's open.
If you want to get into some shit and you want to hear some shit, this is going to be the episode. So I just want to real quickly, before we start getting into some kind of more hardcore stuff, why did you start bodybuilding? What's your passion about it? What drove you to want to do this?
Okay. I'm adopted. So I grew up in a broken home. My mom was a crackhead. My dad was always gone. So I grew up, you know, adopted.
Right.
So in a sense, my two older brothers used to pick on me until I got bigger and start, you know, beating them up. But that being said, my dad was a bodybuilder. And he, at the age of 12, he started pushing me to, I always played sports, but he pushed me to lift weights. Mm-hmm. What other 12-year-old has a set of dumbbells and a bench press in their room? I was very fortunate that they had a nice room for me, big room, bigger than my master bedroom now. And at a bench press, dumbbells, he used to push me, do this. You know, and then my wrestling team that I signed up for, they said, if you want to be on the wrestling team, you got to work out. So right. those were the two elements. Then growing up, too, I was always watching Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno videos, and watching all the bodybuilders, Flex Wheeler. Then you see Arnold Schwarzenegger tearing down all the damn aliens. And then, you know, and my dad told me at a young age, he's like, don't think that's achievable natural. They're on tons of freaking steroids. He told me flat out. He's like, all the wrestlers you love, and I was big into wrestling, they're all on steroids. He's like, so that's just, he prevented body dysmorphia, which is a good thing because lots of kids go through body dysmorphia now. So he explained all that to me, and then growing up, boom, boom, boom. And I just never let go.
Awesome. And that's one thing I love about you in particular is how real you keep it. You don't beat around the bush. Super outgoing. So this is why I want to get into this with you. Let's just cut right to it. So yeah. Somebody your size, I mean, of course, there's a couple elements there. You got to have good genetics. You got to have good work ethic. And you got to be able to have a pretty damn consistent diet. Now, you and I were talking. I want to get into that about some of the things you eat that you get away with. But let's just keep it real here. To get like your size, what are we talking here? What's it take aside from the obvious with the genetics and the training?
When I was at my biggest, I'm 5'8", by the way, for the ones who don't know. Some people think I'm shorter, some think I'm taller. I don't know, social media, you know, kind of. I'm 5'8". At my biggest, I was 260 pounds. That was a gram and a half of tren. That was about a gram of masterone, 2 grams of testosterone, at least I think probably about 12 IUs of growth hormone. And a good, you know, 10 units of freaking insulin. And then on top of that, at that time, I was eating about probably 6,000 calories. And I almost had no fat on me. That's probably about like 9 or 10% body fat. That is when we were talking about younger when, you know, I first started getting into it. And keep in mind, too, as younger, my body was able to take that. Now, at an older age, I'm not that dumb to hit those higher dosages because your heart ages. And especially utilizing stuff year after year after year. But I'm one of the weird ones. If you watch my content, I talk about SARMs, I talk about steroids, I talk about everything. I'm the type that I'll run a cycle of steroids, come off, run SARMs. Come off, run steroids, come off, run SARMs. That's just how I've been the last couple of years. And I found it very beneficial for my overall health because my blood markers are always perfect. But it takes a lot of gear, time, effort. And I'm in the gym literally 3 or 4 hours a day. That's strictly my only job. Gym, eat, nap, gym. That's it. I have clients, too, that I take care of. I actually got rid of 50% of my clients just to clean up more time for the gym. But it's a lot of work.
So, I mean, this is just like your straight lifestyle. This is what you do. This is what you live. I mean, that is pretty much it, aside from the social media stuff that you do and things like that, correct?
Yes. The social media, I love teaching people on that. Yeah. And a lot of my stuff is teach about compounds, which most people would say is inappropriate, but I say it's harm mitigation.
Right. And I mean, you know, I've been doing it since 2011, and I went through that where it's like, it was frowned, especially back then. Times are different now, but you got to think that's 13, 14 years I've been doing videos like this. So you can imagine the type of shit I was getting back then. So it was kind of demonized. Like, why are you talking about this? And like you, it's like, I tell people, if you're too young, if you're this, if you're this, if you're this, you shouldn't do it. They're going to do whatever the hell they want, right? Yeah. I mean, you throw it out there, you sleep well knowing that you warned them. But in reality, it's like, well, at the very, very minimum, I'm at least teaching you what to do and what not to do, right?
So, yeah, of course. You know, every compound, and people don't realize, you can run compounds. You can run as much, well, Tren's the exception. You can run as much Nangelo phenylpropionate, Masteron, Testo, whatever you like. But if you're not mitigating some of the side effects, if you're not introducing a well-balanced diet, which I do, I believe in an 80-20, and when I'm cutting, I do a 90-10, meaning 80% clean, 20% dirty, 90% clean, 10% dirty for cutting. But if you don't implement a proper diet, training, all that gear is just a waste.
Right.
You're not going to get the body composition to look. And then, you know, you got people like Sam Sulik. I love him. Sorry, Sam, if you end up watching this somehow. But who eats all this junk, he's young. And that's what's setting the example for the youth. Right. And the issue with that is that's going to spike your clog your arteries, spike your blood pressure. You know, you're putting more stress on your body. And that's why my content and your content comes into play.
Right. And see, that's one of the things, too, that I found some things about my heart that were genetic that I had no idea about. And I ran plenty of cycles, but never like to the depths like what yours were. But I've ran some shit. But it certainly wasn't the cause. And I found plaque and, you know, things like that, that luckily I caught early. But I don't think a lot of people, and this is part of the reason why people die so young, they do all of this without understanding what atherosclerosis is, for example. They don't understand different cholesterol markers and things that can pop up and come up. So like the cycles you said you ran in the past, you certainly aren't running those style anymore, correct?
I'm getting ready to get a gyno surgery done in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
And that's from when I was younger, you know, making stupid decisions, blasting, not running AIs. And that's right. Another reason for the content. Hey, guys, have your AIs, PCT, or you're going to end up spending $7,000 like me just to get glands removed and be out of the gym for 5 weeks. But after that, I plan on running a cycle. Well, actually, I'm going to run a SARM cycle first. And then I'm going to come off for like 3 weeks. Then I'm going to run an anabolic cycle leading into Nationals and hopefully a place to get my pro card. And, you know, yeah. But that cycle is probably going to be a good 2 grams a test. But everyone's like, oh, trend this, trend that. If I do consider running trend, I will probably run it max at 5 weeks. Versus when I was younger, I used to run it for like 5 or 6 months out of the year and didn't even care. Like, no, it was to the point, and I specified this on my old podcast, I ended up with jaundice. My eyes turned yellow, skin turned yellow, nails turned yellow, and I couldn't sleep. Like, I'll sleep for like an hour or two, and I'll wake up at like, I'll go to sleep at like 12 o'clock at, you know, in the morning or at night, however, and I'll wake up at like 2 in the morning and just hop in my car and drive over to Brett Francis' gym. And I'll be waiting outside the gym doing jumping jacks and push-ups for them. Go. I'll work out for 2 hours, go back, take another two-hour nap, and then go right back to the gym. Like, that's how crazy trend was. But what's crazy now is I ran trend last year and actually hit upwards of 2 grams, and I have virtually no side effects. Yeah. And it's from a legit source and everything. But the difference is that your body tolerates over time. But even if I'm not accruing side effects, you know, visible side effects, it's still tearing apart your insides.
Absolutely.
That's why I understand. And that's why. So coming to that cycle, I'm going to probably hit tests. Nangelo phenylpropionate, which is my favorite compound. I'll take over trend 5 out of 5 times. some Mastrone to mitigate some of the water retention. Keep in mind, too, Mastrone also acts as a very mild anti-prolactin as well as a mild anti-estrogen. Mm-hmm. So that would actually knock down the need for any pramipexole or anastrozole, which you still want to keep on hand, ladies and gentlemen. But that's going to be the cycle going in before I take the nitrogenol phenylpropionate out and then ride the Mastrone with the testin, lower the test, and then add Anavar, increase that, and it'll be good to go. A nice, healthy, safe alternative, but at this age, I'm finding leveraging the diet more rather than back then leveraging compounds.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I mean, look, dude, you and I and anybody else that knows shit about shit is not going to come on here and act like Tren is not the end-all be-all in terms of what it can do. I think that goes without saying. If you say that it's not, you're fucking lying. But I'm glad you brought that up. I actually made a video, the best way to use Tren is to not use it at all. And that's simply because what it does to you internally, I'm so glad you said that and you realized it. It'll shorten your lifespan. I mean, all of these really will, but not like what Tren will do, especially if you use it constantly over and over. Dude, one of my best cycles was Tren, Anadrol, Primo, Equipoise, and then I did like four SARMs on top of it. And I don't do high tests like you do because I'm very gyno prone, estrogen prone.
Yeah.
But man, you can get away with stuff on your diet with Tren. I mean, you can do it all, but it will certainly shorten your lifespan. So with NPP, because I know most bodybuilders will shift to that when they go away from Tren.
Yeah.
You find, first of all, what do you generally dose it, and how does it really affect you physique wise? Do you stay pretty dry on it, or?
I stay dry, and the reason for that is the diet. The diet is key, and then on top of that, it's all about manipulating your carbs. You know, if I run Tren, I keep the carbs higher. If I run something like nitrogenol phenylpropionate, I stay to 200-300 grams of carbs per day, which seems like a lot for most people, but someone my size who works out two times a day for about 3 or 4 hours, that's not a lot of carbs. So you're going to have less water retention. And on top of that, whenever I run the nitrogenol phenylpropionate, as I specified, I always throw a DHT derivative in there to mitigate some of the water. But mm-hmm. even so, just for, you know, simple sake, it's not that wet of a compound as people seem to perceive it. It's not like Deca, which is going to make you look like a water balloon. I've got my best gains of nitrogenol phenylpropionate. Now, a dose for me, ladies and gentlemen, this is my dose. This is what I do. The same for you. Typically, the first time I ran it at 300 mg per week. I did Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I got sick results. Now, if I run it, I'm up to 700 or 800 mg per week, and I get insane results. My joints feel better. I feel healthy. Actually, it's a feel-good compound for me. Like, I'm the opposite of Tren. So it's like I'm good on that compound. Like, I feel healthy. I feel good, energized. But then when I run Tren, I just don't want to talk to people. I have no affection. I turn into a robot. And, you know, all my exes always said, dude, whenever you're on Tren, you don't want to be near me. You don't want to hug me. And you don't realize that you do that because you're just going through the motions. Wake up, work, eat, work out, lay down. Hey, babe, kiss, boom. And that's it. And then a little boom, boom in the bedroom. But after that, what do? You roll over and you sweat your balls off before you go to sleep. But nitrogenol phenylpropionate has a special place in my heart, and I've made hundreds of videos talking about it. So if you guys don't know what it is, there's DECA, there's nitrogenol phenylpropionate, the Bolt 19 Nors, and the same thing with Tren and the Ment, which Ment do not ever touch. I've never touched. I read everything on it. I have no ambition to touch it, but those are, you know, the 19 Nors. Nitrogenol phenylpropionate by far is the best one for overall feel good. Overall size, and it doesn't come like you're not going to get rapid size with Tren, but you get longevity out of it. A Tren cycle, you can run two or three months, and the whole time you're suffering, you're lowering. And nitrogenol phenylpropionate, you run it smooth with a good diet and, you know, a test base, you're good to go. And more longevity out of it.
That's good, man. That's cool. And see, I always say, I love how you pointed that out to not necessarily, because you are a pro or on your way to being a pro, and the dosing is going to be far different. I always tell people, if you want to get max results and keep the side effects low, 300 to 400 is more than enough. And you said that, you saw it. I mean, that's not going to be enough for you for what you're aiming for, obviously, but you can get tremendous results with it. I'm curious, couple things I want to know if you've ran, because a lot of times I have used Proviron, especially with Tren or NPP. I felt like it was, you said Masteron, Proviron's another good option to throw in there. Have you used Anadrol with Tren or with NPP, and how did you kind of feel on that? Because for some reason, that my body loved Anadrol, and a lot of people hate it.
I'm not a fan of Anadrol. My blood pressure goes through the roof with it. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't really see. I use it when I administer it, and I talked to another one of our athletes who wanted to talk about it. You know, I won't name anyone, you know, but he's like, hey, you know, I was helping him with his diet and his training. How do I run this? I was like, you could use it as a fast-acting androgen to utilize, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes before your workout. And that's how I utilize it now. If I was to administer it into my workouts, I'll do it 45 minutes before rather than use it as anabolic, splitting it to two times a day for actual growth. I rather use it pretty much as a pre-workout.
Right.
But overall, I got headaches, nosebleeds from it, and I could deal with it, but I rather not. But right. Then I saw you posted something about Superdrol, you know, and Superdrol I've ran, and you said what, 4 weeks and you're done. I ran Superdrol up to 8 weeks.
Wow.
Real legit pure Superdrol. And I went up upwards of 50 milligrams only till I got up to 50 milligrams. Then I ended up with kidney stones. That's the only side effect I had. And a headache, which I figured out how to leave, you know, baby aspirin, a little bit of extra electrolytes, water. And yep. Every now and then I got cramps. The results were insane.
Oh, yeah.
But if I was to choose Superdrol over Anadrol, I'd take Superdrol, even though Superdrol is highly toxic. But that's a different story.
And that's one thing I always stress to people. Everything's trial and error, and everybody's different. Because I can't tell you how many people were shocked the way I ran Anadrol, and I didn't have, and it's known for what you said with blood pressure. I had nothing but a little bit of elevated liver, and I'm telling you, dude, but I did run Carterine with it, in fairness, which
that's going to bounce a lot.
Oh, yeah, ton, especially with the cholesterol on top of the blood pressure. But I don't know, and that's the thing that everybody needs to realize. Just because you respond or I respond or someone else does not mean everybody else is going to do the same, right?
Yeah, of course not. Well, that's another thing. Like, people ask, how come I dislike Equipoise, Boldenone? I get severe anxiety off it, but I can run Tren and get no anxiety.
Wow, that's crazy.
So I guess I got the better of the two, even though I don't like the better of the two because how damaging is it to your internals. I'd rather be able to run EQ than Tren, but some people say I'm blessed. I say, no, I'd rather have the EQ, but.
So the only two, when you said about Tren, the only two compounds my wife ever asked me, please don't run again, were Tren and Halo. The only two that ever affected me, like, where I was a prick, you know?
Yeah.
Or did Tren make you emotional at all? Because that when that happened to me, I was like, I'm done.
When I was younger and I was on Tren, I used to think my girl was always cheating. I got mad. And I was 260 pounds. I used to go into bars and just clear out the bar, like fist fights. Because I know how to scrap. I grew up in New York, you know, did boxing, wrestling. And we used to street fight when we were younger. You know, I'm a calm guy now at my age. But, you know, my friends always posted on my Instagram, wow, you're so calm. Like, they haven't seen me in damn 12 years, you know, the kids I grew up with. But, you know, on Tren, it did not matter. If you bumped into me when I was younger, I would turn around and stuff you right in the face. It didn't matter if it's an accident. Now, last time I ran Tren, everyone's like, why are you so calm? Like, even the people who knew I was on Tren, why are you, like, calm like that? I was like, I don't know. It's like, I'm good. Like, people cut me off. I'll just wave and be like, all right. So I guess it comes with mental maturity, too, because if you think of it, when you're young, 22, let's say, well, I started when I was 22. 22 to about 27 as a male, your brain's still developing. And then you introduce a 19 nor, which is neurotoxic. So right. If your brain's still developing and going through that curve, and then you're adding all that toxicity to the brain and the development, and all the extra androgens, which is the highest one you could think of, that's going to cause some type of psychological issue. Versus when you're at an older age and your brain's already developed, you know, you have all these trials and errors, experience, life experiences, and you've been through it all. You could introduce something like that if you're mentally mature and satisfied in your life, and you could virtually feel nothing that crazy. It'll still be elevated and stimulated, but not to the extent of you being an adolescent.
So for you personally, What compounds did you find gave you either the most side effects in general, and which ones affected you mentally or aggressive the most, aside from Tren, which is the obvious?
Superdrol when I was younger, mm-hmm. not now. And that's about it. You know, I found that I've only got aggressive when I used to drink on the weekends.
Okay.
And then still run gear, you know, throughout the week, you right. know, on weekends. But that was putting me in a neurological, you know, freaking wave, you know, your brain's still bouncing off one. And then also I found that I've never really found compounds to really piss me off that much, you know, unless I was living in a stressful environment. I haven't right. lived in this, you know, my ex, you know, she's Puerto Rican. She's nuts. I'm half Puerto Rican. So I, you know, we don't vibe too good.
Right.
And by just living with her and then having all these androgens, anabolics and everything in, that was causing a lot of the stress versus now the missus, you know, she's nice. All the kids are calm. And it's just, I guess you're an element of where you live and how you perceive life.
Sure. So what about like other side effects? Aside from you said equipoise kind of hit you with the anxiety. Any other ones that you haven't sat right with you or that you don't want to run again?
No, I'm just one of the lucky people that has the bodybuilder genetics that could really get away with a lot. Like, I won't even see no gyno flaring up until I hit about 15 mgs of test. So it's like, yeah. I could run 1,000 mgs of test and have no sensitive nipples, nothing. I actually went, I'm on freaking TRT now, a little bit above it, you know, because I have to be off everything for the surgery. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, your gyno's almost not visible. I was like, it's there. And I showed him pictures. I was like, it's there.
Right.
He's like, oh, yeah, but, you know, it's fine. And I was like, so I started showing him all the pictures. So I was like, just take the damn glands out. But nothing really affects me to that, you know, magnitude, really.
Right.
Wow. It's weird.
You're blessed, man. You're truly blessed. If I run over 200 milligrams of test, my estrogen gets over 70 like this.
Well, put it this way. Have you ever taken Adderall?
No.
Adderall puts me to sleep.
Does it really?
Adderall puts me to sleep.
Oh,
if I drink too much Red Bull, I fall asleep. So it's like I'm just have one of those weird genetics.
Well, I was telling you when we were kind of chatting about the gyno surgery. I had it from puberty. It was not due to steroid use or whatever. But the surgery is so easy. You'd be 30 to 45 minutes. I was awake the whole time. I was talking to him. It's like in and out. Now, I don't know what you're going to do. And I'm laughing because I know you're not going to want to sit out for a month, but I waited. He told me a month. I started cardio after 3 weeks and then I started lifting after a month. What's your plan?
Well, my plan is that starting before about 4 days before to go start administering PBC 157 and TB 500. And mm-hmm. then they gave me some other medication that helps with inflammation and then 5-amino-1-MQ. The reason for 5-amino-1-MQ is it has healing properties. Most sure. people just look at it as a fat burner, but it has mm-hmm. healing properties. Now, the MK677, I'm cutting out a few days before to help mitigate any potential high blood pressure. Even though my blood pressure is good, I don't know what it'll be like under the knife. So I was like, let me take that out. Coming off it, adding the MK back in. Hopefully, I'm going to be recovered. And he said, yeah, you won't be able to do chest for about 5 weeks. I was like, yeah, we'll see about that. And then I told him all the stuff I was going to do. And he's like, okay, well, good luck with that. So hopefully, maybe 3 or 4 weeks after, I'll do chest. But My goal is to, I'm going to cram out. I'm taking the first week off, travel around, do some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how I'm going to feel. It's something I can't predict. And then after that, you know, then, you know, hopefully I'm able to do legs and chest and then move forward from there. But it's pretty much pre-planned. Like I'm doing a lot of upper body workouts now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm doubling, tripling up my exercises leading up. And then I know I'm just going to cram out legs like 3 or 4 days out of the week and then, you know, try and rebuild from that. But even so, I've taken off up to a year, you know, from the gym for, you know, other reasons, gone through a car crash, you know, ACL meniscus, broken ribs, you know, coma for a few days. Like I've been through a lot of stuff and I've taken off a lot of time and I was able to always bounce back like that. Nice. So I'm not really concerned about, you know, 5-6 weeks max, 4 being the minimal, you right. know, but yeah. Well, and then I'm going to do my SARM cycle. So
yeah, well, you got a good protocol. Two things I would say too that would possibly help you there is Osterin and ACP 105, both really nice for healing, and also you can continue to you know, this help kind of build some extra muscle or lean muscle in the process. So I wanted to go there with you now, because, you know, I'm a SARMs guy. I have been for, that was how I started talking about it before anybody. And so I've watched it evolve. I've watched it change. I've watched it go from when I started, the only thing you could get was 2866 S4. And then a few websites had MK677 for like $300 a bottle. Nobody used it. There was very few people, barely anybody sold it. But there, you got to remember, there was like 10 websites that even had the shit.
Yeah.
You know, so research chemicals in general were mostly PCT products, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember. They used to come with a little droplet. You order, crap, and, you know, half the time the bottle comes broken. You're shooting an email back on the forum to the guy, emails you back. Okay, I'll try. Yeah, I remember those days.
So I've seen it from really the birth of it, really. So I guess where I'm going with that is from where it came from. And I remember when GW first came out, and then it was LGD, and then it started getting into RAD, YK11. And now they're basically, S23 is basically stronger than many oral steroids.
Have you ever seen the anabolic family tree that's very popular? You know, you have your test derivatives, DHT derivatives, 19 NORs.
Yeah.
It's actually extended now. If you look up an update, they have the SARM selection, the peptides, the synagogues, and it extended into this big thing. So it's acknowledged. And most people who say, oh, it don't work, never tried it. Like, they never tried it, or they don't read the literature or science. That's why with my videos, I pull up the science, I pull up the literature, and whatever compound's been studied, I show it. But I think they're going to eventually, I give it like a good 5 years, 10 years, it's going to get the axe, because same thing with Superdrol. I used to be able to walk into a damn GNC and buy Superdrol. You can't buy Superdrol no more like that.
That's so, what I did. I walked right in and fucking bought it.
Yeah. Or, you know, the old Jack 3D, where it had DMAA in it, you know, giving people heart attacks with three scoops. Used to be able to buy it. Those are banned compounds now. Guess what? Anything that's going to provide results, people are going to debate at first, then eventually it gets banned. So,
absolutely.
Now, but, see, so, RAD is my favorite. So, I did a trend test masterone cycle. Mm-hmm. I gained a good amount of weight, weight muscle size. I've seen it in a surplus off it. A lot of people say you can't bulk on trend, or you trend strictly for cutting or recomp. You can virtually bulk or cut on any compound depending on your caloric intake. But some are going to favor other goals versus others. But I did that. I gained a good amount of weight. Then I was like, screw it. This was a few years back. I was like, let me try this RAD 140. I grabbed RAD 140. I grabbed MK677. Someone sent it to me. I ran both of them. Coming off that cycle, I gained an additional 17 pounds. And people are going to be like, oh, well, that's MK677 water weight. No, I was freaking shredded. Shredded to the bone. Obviously, you're going to get a little nitrogen retention, but everything's dictated by your diet. So, yeah.
100%. And so that's where I was going with this. So if you made a statement, I'd say 4 or 5 years ago, and compared SARMs and steroids, it was like, oh, you're selling them, or you're doing this because that's such bullshit, da 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 da. But now, if you take, and I don't know which ones you've ran, and I want to get into that. If you take S23, if you take LGD3303, for example, I will stand up and tell anybody to their fucking face that wants to debate me that those two are going to get bigger gains than you're going to get with like a Winstrol, an Anavar, or even a T-ball. All day.
I've been telling people that nonstop. And then, you know, people start, you know, doing their little experiments on the lab rats, and they're coming back to like, oh, the lab rat, you know, gained a good 12 pounds.
Yeah.
And I've had people in the comment section say, this blows Anavon test out the water. This blows freaking test the Mastrone, test the Primobolan. But then again, there comes the gains. Now, as people start acknowledging it more and more, it's going to catch on. And that's where
it's the problem. My argument is threefold. Okay. The first is, with an oral steroid, obviously the toxicity, and there's some toxicity present with SARMs, but nowhere near to the extent that you're getting with an oral, and over time, it's fucking wacky, right? Second is the length of time you can run them. You can't run oral steroids too. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but you do it, and you're just going to thrash yourself. And three is keepability, because your recovery is far easier, right? So you're going to keep far more on the SARMs. You're going to be able to run them longer, and you're going to do less damage to yourself.
Of course. But keep in mind, too, so if you're running an anabolic, like, let's say, whatever one, it also attaches to the scalp and the prostate, inflames right. the prostate. Rabo 40 has been proven to shrink back the prostate back to normal size. Right. So when people ask me, why do you run RAD, you know, typically a month after your last cycle, well, one, I'm going to continue my gains. I'm not going to lose any gains. And then on top of that, I'm shrinking my prostate back down because it's a selective androgen receptor modulator. It's going to help with the prostate health, and I'm going to feel better and still look good. You know? And yes, you could run, you know, RAD with test, but they're going to compete. And guess what? RAD wins every single time. So you got to keep the test at like a TRT level just as a test base. But even so, even for the ones who aren't prescribed TRT like me, don't even worry about RAD shutting you down. Worry about running a clomiphene or something afterwards, you know, and that's really it. HMG, and you're good to go.
Absolutely. And that's a great call right there. And that's just it. And people, if you take a I just did this TRT dose because I stopped cycling at this point, right? So I'm on TRT and I did TRT. I did S23, AC262, and S4. And S4 is another one for the prostate, by the way, that you mentioned with RAD. And then I did SR9009 because I'm a cardio guy, right? Yeah. And oh, fuck, what a cycle that just was. I put on, and I eat at a major deficit, mind you. Like, I do over 2 hours of cardio a day. I still lift quite heavy and everything, but I eat at a large deficit. I still gained almost 10 pounds. And I'm talking eating at a large deficit, right? And how the hardening alone, the muscle hardening, my wife was saying, how in the fuck, like, what the hell is going on here right now, you know?
Yeah.
It was that, that's how strong.
Well, leading into my show, these aren't really SARMs, they're considered peptides. I was running 5-amino-1-MQ, tesofentine, T3 is obviously a metabolism modulator. Right. Then we had MK677, and my maintenance is about 4,000 calories, you know. And I was eating at, I think about 3,500 calories, and I was losing about a pound a day. Wow. That's how quick. And I couldn't, anytime I went under 2,000 calories, I'll turn into a twig the next day. It's just sucking everything dry. That's how strong of a fat burning stack that was. Now, I compared that, you know, because I had no high blood pressure. I didn't have jitters. I felt energized. The only thing that sucked was my deficit, and I slowly increased my calories leading to the show before I ended up with the stomach bug, you know, thanks to my kids, those bring home sicknesses from daycare. But I compared that to when I ran clenbuterol with T3, and it overexceeded the clenbuterol with T3, which clenbuterol could bring you up to about 10 to 15% of your BMR, and then T3 roughly about the same. It overexceeded that by at least fivefold. And at the same time, I didn't have all the side effects that are associated with the clenbuterol, the jitters, shakes, and, you know, everything of that nature.
Right. So, what do you think? So, because tesofenzine is strong and it's really good. Did that, two things. How did your experience go with that? And did it, do you feel like it really curbed your appetite a lot, or how did you respond to it?
I used tesofenzine with MK677 because I use it as a balancing act. Use it as a seesaw. Because if I take MK677 and I've done it before, I could easily eat 10,000 calories without an issue. And I'm talking about not like junk food, like clean food. Like really clean food, 10,000 calories would be nothing for me. And then the tesofenzine, if I take it alone, I could probably barely eat about 1,800 calories. So yin and yang.
Did you have any kind of side effects with the teso at all, or any kind of
anything? My first 2 weeks on it, I noticed slight insomnia. Mm-hmm. But then I changed the protocol. I was doing 0.5 grams every single day. And then I switched it to a quarter every other day. And after doing that, I still got the appetite suppressing, a little bit of energy, you know, a little fat oxidation. But I didn't get that over alertness before sleep. It was like you're tired but can't sleep.
Right. Do you have caffeine intake at all with it at all? Or
I was drinking about 7 Red Bulls a day. I drank seven Red Bulls a day for the last couple of years. And And what's funny is after the show, after I ran that stack I just talked about a few previously, After I ran that stack into the show, I cut the Red Bull out a day before the show because the sodium. And after the show, I went to drink a Red Bull and I didn't like the taste. And I haven't drank a Red Bull since.
Wow.
Sugar-free Red Bull, yeah.
That's why.
I literally have like four boxes sitting in my kitchen of sugar-free Red Bull untouched.
No shit.
Yeah, because wow. I buy them by the box. Like Amazon literally was dropping them off every week to me.
Wow. Well, here's a question because I want to go back to this because this is what drew me to SARMs the very first time that drew them to me. So I had ran the Super Draw cycle and I put on way too much size than I was comfortable with, right? And I wanted to start cutting it down. But obviously I couldn't, I was like, oh, I'm going to take Anavar and Provider. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's like constant running of orals. So that's when I discovered SARMs and I ran S4 and MK2866 because that's all you could run. And it shredded me like to no end. But my point with that is ever since then, I adopted that policy, which you were talking about, which bridging with SARMs in between cycles. And I did it ever since. And so I wanted to just go back to that real quickly. How long have you been doing that? And how effective do you find that to be for what you're trying to do?
Well, I'd say roughly about 3 years. That's why I started advocating for SARMs. And the reason why I started SARMs was because I was that guy on social media. Oh, this don't work. 3 years ago, I was 31, you know, I'm 34 now. I still, you know, hardcore. I was like, yeah, just run trend, this. One of my friends gave me Rad. He's like, come off everything. He's like, try this Rad 140. Mm-hmm. And literally, I felt like, it wasn't like a buildup while running anabolics. It's like I take Rad, next day I'm freaking running around in the gym. And like I filmed like some of the most insane workouts that got me popular on TikTok. Like people see me super set, throwing around weight. Like I had 315, I benched for 30 something times, 225, 49 times. And people like, what are you running? I was like, Rad 140. They're like, BS. I was like, dude. They're like, no, you always talk about this. I was like, dude, I'm running Rad 140. That's it. And then that's the slow build up. Then doing research, more research. I was like, oh, well, it does this. This one has healing properties. And then you start learning all of them. And then you start being able to leverage certain things. And I have seen the most growth I have in years by bridging or even coming off gear and just running SARMs and just staying at my TRT. And then my blood markers are healthy. And it just ended up being a good, you know, systematic thing for me.
It's definitely going to be better for longevity. I'm curious, have you ran through them all or are there ones you haven't used yet that you are kind of looking? Because I'm S23 and AC262 were new to me.
Yeah.
And you're my favorite now, but my next cycle now, I'm going to do 3303 and ACP105 as soon as I get back from vacation. That's my next one with SR. I love SR now over GW. But I've used GW too fucking long. So What ones have you maybe not used that you're looking forward to using?
ACP I haven't used and SR9009 because I use SR9011.
Okay. All right. I've used them both. So, yeah, either way.
S4, AC262, S4 I have right here too, half a bottle. S4, AC262 are like some of my favorite. People asked me what I was on at the Olympia, leading into the Olympia when I was filming with Tony and, you know, Robert. We were filming. They're like, what are you running? Like all the other influencers. I was like, you guys are going to laugh. S4, Tessa Fenty, 5-Amino-1-MQ, MK677. And everyone kept saying bullshit. I was like, no, bro, I'm waiting to run a cycle. I was like, Tony said, not Tony, one of them said, come in lean, look good, you know, shave. And I was like, good. I want to take pictures with people. So I ran that, shredded out, good diet, you know, kept the carbs fairly low for that one. And I looked insane. Like, if you looked at the videos, Tony looked at me. He's like, you look like you're show prepped. I was like, yeah. I'm staying there. I lift up. All my abs are popping, striated, obliques. Like, it looked nuts.
See, S4 is always like my old faithful. Like, I love S4. S4 is not as strong as like Masteron or Winstrol, but that's the kind of effect. And I get it, like, really hard. And I ran it with S23 and that's what gave me all of that muscle hardening. I love S4. I know it's not for everybody, but
I view it as a good moderate in between. So yes. Like let's say you're running Rad with let's say ACT262, you run that for 5 or 6 weeks. you come off, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I always say come off the same duration you've been on. So if you mm-hmm. did 6 weeks, come off for 6 weeks. But then you want like a nice little push, but not to overdo it. That's when you miss something like S4. Like a nice little kick, S4 with a little cartarine, low dose, and you're good to go.
Hell yeah, man. Well, what do you think about this? This is a good one. You've obviously ran them both plenty of times. What do you find similar and different with MK677 and HGH, and which one do you like better?
I like MK better because the convenience and yeah. how fast it works and the sleep and obviously the price. you can get away with a lot, but obviously nothing can replace a high dose of GH.
Right.
So, like, if I want to grow, I'll do MK677 at nighttime, and I'll do, like, 6 or 7 IUs of, you know, farm-grade GH in the morning. Now I'm cutting the price in half. People could say, oh, Tolo, you could afford, you know, doing the farm-grade 2 times a day. Yes, but what's the point? Why not save money and put money away for my kids' college if right. the MK677 is practically going to do the same? Now, on top of that, you're getting periodic spurts of growth hormone throughout your system on a 24-hour basis from taking MK versus GH. When I was strictly using GH, I'll do it 3 or 4 times a day. So sure.
Nice.
It's beneficial.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I always tell people about stacking them together, because I'll get these arguments about it. I'm like, you guys don't understand that stacking them together is pretty fucking sweet, you know, on the surface, if you do like what you said. So,
well, the issue is people are afraid of new science. They're afraid of new techniques. They're afraid of new stuff. And it is what it is. Like they ridiculed, you know, Superdrol. People don't realize, if you look up Trend actually was once considered a selective androgen receptor modulator because it's highly selective to the androgen receptors. And right. now we have a new batch of stuff. And guess what? 6 years from now, people are going to be hitting up the forums. Where can I find Rad? Where can I find this? Where can I find that? And then, yeah, so time and place. And even what we have now, something else is probably going to stem off and evolve off that as science picks up.
Right. So where are you sitting at right now weight-wise, and where do you like to stay consistently throughout the year, and what do you go in when you compete?
I'm at 230 now.
Okay.
230 now. I want to get back to my weight when I was younger, at about 260 pounds. I actually competed. I weighed in at 190, which was insane because I depleted everything.
Yeah.
I weighed myself right before I stepped on stage as 197. So once I refilled all my glycogen and water and looked sick, you know, I was 197. Wow. That was the lightest I've fucking been. And I blame that from the stomach bug. So sure. that completely jacked me up. Because right before that, I was a good like 210. And then being sick for a good 9 or 10 days, not being able to move, like, yeah.
So how many calories a day for you to be around 230-ish? What are you normally at?
Right now I'm at 4,700 calories. I just upped from 4,500 calories. I upped it to 200 more because I want to start progressing into it. And then hopefully during the surgery, I'm going to lower back down to maintenance, about 4,000. Mm-hmm. And then right after the surgery, I'm going to go right back up to 4,500, work my way to 4,700, then 5,000 calories. I used to dirty bulk when I was younger and get huge quick, but obviously your metabolism changes and your body chemistry changes over time. And if you look at my recent posts, I'm up a decent amount of weight since that show, and I still have a four and a half pack, mm-hmm. which most people don't gain, you know, plus 30 pounds, 40 pounds, and keep that. So I kind of am able to leverage my diet. It's all bison, freaking, and I changed it up a bit. I'm actually doing a high-carb, high-protein diet with low fats, well, mediocre fats, but it's all bison and ground beef and, you know, eggs. That's it.
Nice.
Typically, I would do, you know, eggs, fish, and chicken, but I'm switched up a little bit. Freaking sweet potatoes and regular potatoes and
right. oats.
And I'm getting, like, some of the best results. I posted earlier. Someone's like, what are you on? Like, they're like, what? I'm like, dude, I'm on 180 milligrams of TRT for the last 6 weeks. 6 weeks on TRT. Since the show to now, TRT, because I can't be on nothing, and I'm gaining all this freaking size. Diet, training.
Yep. I was just going to say, that's a testament to your diet and training right there.
Yeah.
That's sick, man. So with your carbohydrate intake, especially, what kind of carbs are you taking in? What are your different types of sources?
Right now it's oats, sweet potatoes, regular white potatoes, golden potatoes, and Dave's Killer Bread.
Okay.
And I'll eat literally the loaf is this big. I'll eat half a loaf a day.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That is so crazy, man.
I'm not getting fat. It's like the craziest thing.
Gosh damn it. I have two slices of bread and I know it the next day, man. It's crazy.
I actually just made a carb video earlier. Talk about how Tom Platz utilized carbs going into the Olympia. He used it. Mike Mentzer. I'm not a fan of Mike Mentzer by no means. Half of his stuff he's talking about was literally just craziness, meth induced. He does have some good theories, but a lot of it's outdated.
Right.
But he told Tom Platz to go into his second Olympia appearance eating high carbs. Tom Platz did that, and he did pretty damn good. They said transform. You know, carbs is your body's fuel. Like that. You know, you need glycogen. You need that sugar. That's the preferred fuel. If you have a low carb, you're going to look flat as a bodybuilder. Now, someone who's as strenuous as I am, 2 or 3 hours working out, lifting heavy weights, if you have a low carb diet, you're not going to get muscles. You're not going to get gains. You got back contractions, dehydration. You know, now someone like you, you could get away with it. You're running. That's different types of goals. You know, if I was you, I'd probably eat a lot more sugar, but, you know, overall, like not carb, but like Peeps and Tootsie Rolls and stuff like that, just to get going before a run. But if you're lifted nonstop for hours, carbs is the way to go.
And that's what I do before I hit cardio is because I do a ton of Greek yogurt and I take in different fruits and stuff before I run. And I take in extra potassium than I do because I lose so much with all of the sweat before I go into it. But I am curious too on the amount of protein that you take in, because that is so like all over the fucking place with everybody's theories on how much protein to take in. But more people are coming around to the understanding that you need a lot when you're working out, and a lot more than they say. What is your intake amount per day?
So my personal intake, I'm at about 420 grams of protein.
Right.
And now, for my natural clients, I always suggest a gram and a half to a pound they weigh.
Right. You
know, for ladies, I say a gram, a little under a gram.
Perfect. That's kind of where I am. I used to be on the two to one. Now I'm more like 1.5, depending on the person.
Yeah.
But it's good for so many things. The muscle building, obviously, but it does help to burn fat, because the more muscle you're building, the fat you're burning. And I don't think people understand or realize
that. Well, your body takes longer to digest the protein as well, so help you feel satiated. You know, so if you're cutting weight, that's a benefit. Then thermogenesis, it takes a little bit more extra energy to burn off the protein as well. So you're going to burn calories even at rest just by digesting the protein. You know, carbohydrates digest really quick. That's why you want them around workout time. And that's another note. I eat my highest carb meals before the workout, post-workout. Before workout, post-workout, because I do 2 workouts a day.
Nice.
And at nighttime, I just refill glycogen with light carbs. But yeah.
So, all right. You and I are both enhanced sponsored athletes, and that's how I was blessed enough to meet you. And so supplements do play a role in all of this, obviously, right? And so the reason I chose them, and the reason I'm sure you chose them, is because these are actually legitimate that we can use. Because let's face it, dude, some of these big box companies, they're all marketing. They spend a lot of money on inferior shit. And so it's hard to sift through everything. Now, we're talking about carbs, so I want to go into that, because you and I both love the Slim pills for different reasons.
I literally keep one in every single room. It's a glucose disposal, but when you also have a high influx of carbs, it can also lead to insulin resistance. And by doing a low carb diet, lots of people do it natural. That's going to help with insulin sensitivity. By utilizing something like that, you're going to shuttle the nutrients you're taking, but you're also going to help as far as for the digestion of the carbs and utilize it as a fuel source rather than storing excess as fat. So it works, and it's the number one seller, but I love all the products. Like, look, this is my probiotic. It's almost empty. Like, freaking a few pills left in there, man. And the probiotic's digestive enzyme is I eat a lot of food. You want to be able to digest, like, this. Protein pancakes. People see me walk around the gym. They taking pictures of me walk around eating a protein pancake, make workout, drinking my damn intro workout. So that's why I really chose them. Like, all the products are perfect. I had an issue with the last pre-workout. I wasn't really a fan of. But guess what they did? I told them my issue. I said, I want a high-stim, crazy balls-to-the-wall pre-workout. Tony was like, no problem. And it's all right. Boom. And we just got one delivered today, which I'm really, really excited for.
Yes.
I was actually upset it didn't come earlier because before my second workout, because I will cram that down and went balls to the wall. I looked at the ingredients and I'm like, holy crap. Like, they really put a lot of work into it.
Well, and I want to do some content with you on those, with, you know, after our vacations and stuff towards the end of May, so we can do that together.
Oh, absolutely.
So I can't do super low carb because I turn into just like a, I don't believe in super low carb really. So I eat a big, one of my biggest meals is before I go to bed is like a thing of oatmeal, peanut butter, walnuts, like, cause I don't eat a lot. Right. So this is my big thing. When I start taking those fucking Slim pills, when I wake up in the morning and I go looked in the first day I did it, I looked in the mirror and I was like, okay, I got to test this a couple times because of how dry I was. And then it was consistent, consistent, consistent. And I was like, holy shit. It's my favorite, favorite product. And then I started getting into the other things. So that the two things that I like that I don't hear, well, one, 3AD, because that's my bridge, because I'm only doing SARMs. I'm not doing steroids anymore. So my bridge is 3AD, but the EPA muscle, because it really does help with the myostatin inhibition. Yeah. It does. I mean, not like crazy like YK11, but it works.
It's a myostatin inhibitor. That's exactly what you need. It's moderate, but it's beneficial because, like, whenever people ask me about YK11, and I could easily say, oh, YK11 is the best, buy it and, you know, make a commission. I'd rather say YK11, it could cause hair loss. But on top of that, you're more prone to injuries. It still acts somewhat as a DHT derivative. So it could cause some sort of injuries as far as for your body versus the Epi, you could take it with virtually no side effects.
Right.
So some people like going to the extreme. That's why I always like to tell people the different side effects. Like alpha-yohimbine, right? You ever take this?
I just got done taking it.
How did you feel on it?
I like it. It makes my heart flutter a little bit, so I stopped taking it. But gosh damn it, it works. I mean, it really, I noticed striations in my stomach within 2 days.
Lots of my clients take it for show prep. Uh-huh. And about out of the 10 of them, 3 of them said they couldn't take it no more because how high their heart rate went.
Yes.
And not saying they're old. They're not old. They're, you know, fairly young. But on top of that, a few of them got anxiety.
Right.
So, like, yeah, that's how strong these little stuff are. And then same thing, you know, lots of bodybuilders take the alpha-yohimbine for contest prep versus some of the stuff like clenbuterol.
I kind of would go like every couple of days with it. And I just like to test one thing at a time to see how it affects me. And I'm just like, man, I can see it. You know, it's not by fucking chance. I know the difference from what I look every day. So yeah. I know you're busy, brother, and I know we kind of ran over time here. It's too good of a conversation, so I got to get you back.
We'll do a part two.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a part two. So I value your time, and I appreciate it. And so real quick, tell people where they can follow you. I'll put everything in the description, but how can people find you and follow you?
It's Beast Mode Tolo on TikTok. I don't really post much on TikTok no more. TikTok's getting a little crazy with the censorship. But if you do want some of my old content, it's there, some motivational content. The real juicy stuff is _KingTolo_ on Instagram. And YouTube apparently is gone for me, but it's okay. Eventually, maybe, you know, I'll contact them and, you know, we'll get that going.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, like I said, appreciate your time.
Thank you, brother.
We'll talk soon. So that being said, stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli and King Tolo signing off.
Peace, love, and happiness, guys. Have a good one.